Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Now, you might recall that typically over the last few weeks, we've really been taking a look at the various sectors of South Africa's economy that contribute to growth. And as we know, agriculture is one of those spaces that has afforded South Africa the luxury of being able to not only provide a sense of food security in South Africa, but also export these products to our neighboring countries and across the globe. AGOA, as we know, is constantly being renegotiated after the ministry and government representatives took a visit to Washington. Not only that, we're still trying to ensure that our relationship with countries like Namibia and Botswana is maintained. They recently banned some of our agricultural goods to ensure that they can cultivate their own stimulation in terms of growth in the agricultural space of their domestic environments. But now we also understand that the EU has called upon South Africa to really provide some more clarity on why it believes that there's a justification in the lifting of a 10-year ban regarding red meat products that have been exported to markets like the UK or the EU as a whole. Lots happening. And this made me sit back and think, hold on. Seems as though we really are facing a number of challenges when it comes to agri-trade with our neighboring and global partners. We decided to call on a good friend of the show and someone who is has a wealth of experience and knowledge in terms of understanding not only the economics of the agricultural sector, but the importance of trade relations to a country like South Africa. That is Wandile Sihlobo, Chief Economist at the Agricultural Business Chamber of South Africa. Bab Sihlobo, always a pleasure to speak to you, sir.
Thank you so very much for that. A kind introduction, and thanks for having me on the show.
Anytime. I'm really excited to speak to you about this one, Wandile, because as I read these different articles and try to track a timeline, I realized I myself was getting confused in trying to keep up to date with South Africa's trade relations when it comes to agricultural exports. Help us contextualize where we are in terms of the concerns with the EU and why there's actually been a ban that was instated for the last 10 years.
Yeah, I think the first thing perhaps maybe to help the listeners to recall the context of trade just in general in South Africa's agriculture is that we are a sector now that exports roughly about half of what we produce in value and in volume terms. Last year, which is 2023, that was valued at about $13.2 billion, not rands, dollars, really a record level. And that is something that has grown over time, because if you think back in the early 2000s, say year 2002, back then our agricultural exports were about $2 billion. Now then, that just shows you the progress that has happened over time. And that progress over time has happened because of a number of things that had been put in place. One of them was this aggressive opening of a range of export markets in the African continent, part of the of Europe, part of Asia, in the Middle East. And that has enabled us then to access those markets, while at the same time, the farming community really across all of the subsectors was increasing the output. We have at a commercial level about 38 commodities that we produce in agriculture, and the majority of those have increased their volume, and which is why we sit where we sit in the exports. Sure. And I think this is important then in appreciating why today do we always as South Africa talk about trade, because if there's any friction in some of these export markets, then that means that we get to have a glut, and that does weigh on profitability of a range of export markets, which is why farmers, agribusinesses, and everybody gets worked out whenever we hear of the friction with regards to certain markets that are very important to us.
I find this so refreshing, Wandile, because it actually is helping us understand and contextualize that our agricultural sector is actually growing. We are improving and increasing on volumes. And as you say, maintaining very positive relations and even widening them with our international counterparts. So where are we falling short in terms of maintaining a level of diplomacy, positivity and economic benefit in terms of this trade?
Yeah, so I think the important part, really tying on to your question, is to say then, okay, fine. If South Africa exports now, and as of 2023, this record $13.2 billion of agricultural products, where are those exports going to? You realize there that about 40% of them to the African continent. And in that 40% into the African continent, 10 cents in 90 cents in every 1 rand is within the SADC, which is our neighboring countries. So that means that all of these countries, the Botswanas, Namibia, Zimbabweans, and all of that, they become an important market when we think about South Africa's agricultural exports and the fact that nearly half of our exports are concentrated in the continent. Then you have about 19% of them going to the EU. Then you have about 24% or so to the Middle East and Asia, the US and the other countries taking the remainder in those numbers. So today we have about two things that we are grappling with.
Mm-hmm.
One is the maintenance of the export markets that we have access to within the EU, within the African continent and elsewhere. The second objective is to say, how do we continue to grow the export markets to tap into the likes of China more widely, India more widely. Saudi Arabia is another important market for us, as well as Egypt, amongst others. And I think now we are on that dancing a part of it with, of course, then appreciating the current changes in geopolitics and all of the things that is complicating matters a bit for the markets that we want to maintain, while at the same time trying to achieve access to some of the new markets. There are two risks that we're currently seeing at the moment. One is in the EU, where there's a growing protectionism. You and I have discussed the issue of citrus and the EU blocking some of our citrus and citing all of the non-tariff barrier things that were there. The second aspect is the story of beef that you see the business day running earlier today. By non-tariff barriers, they will refer to, say, certain regulations we don't meet as a country. We need to improve particular standards we need to handle our products in all range of things. For example, in citrus, they were saying we need to freeze our citrus below a particular temperature, while in the red meat, there's certain requirements that the South Africa, but all of this is happening at the same time while Lezekan, also struggling is that you see foot and mouth disease and other aspect is a regional story. We're blocking our vegetables, and recently they're talking about blocking some of our citrus, and all of that locates the things. But of course, I think in the African conversation, we need to approach it slightly different. I get where these colleagues are coming from. They want to grow. South Africa, we need to considerate because we are a big economy, but we have to think about the impact that these unplanned bans that are actually just happening arbitrarily in the continent are causing to the business condition, the South African businesses. But at the same time, we need to be sensitive about where do these countries, where are they going? And there's also a legal argument given that we're in SACU.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very sensitive matter that we need to handle there. While the EU one, we need a particular different approach. As you know, with our citrus, we already have a WTO case that we are dealing with there. So these are things that we are trying to balance. And I think our friends at the DTIC, Minister Pakstar, as well as the deputy ministers, are looking at some of these things, and hopefully we're able to get somewhere as a country.
I'm so glad you mentioned this, because it takes us back to a point that you mentioned earlier in terms of trying to find new markets, widening these markets, and of course maintaining them. And it does seem as though the team at the DTIC have quite a challenge ahead of them. Not only is it how we interact with our neighboring countries, the EU, the Middle East that you've alluded to, but we also can't forget that AGOA just a few weeks ago saw members of South Africa's government descend upon Washington to try to make sure that we are still going to be considered in terms of that particular program. So I guess my question, Wandile, is it seems as though the more the world is opened up, the more complex and challenging it's become to actually find new markets that are not only viable and favorable, but also sustainable for the long term, given the fluctuations we've seen in the market. What's your view as to how this needs to be considered, and how we as South Africans should be reading this and managing the dynamics in trade relations?
Yeah, I mean, certainly things have changed in recent years with the adjustments and rise in tensions on the geopolitics, and of course that spills over to the business relations, how countries interact with the others. These are things we are beginning to see through various non-tariff barriers that people are putting in place. Others are looking inward of saying, how do they boost their own industries? And I think in South Africa, then one of the things that perhaps maybe is necessary at this point is to go back a little bit to the drawing board as the DTIC, along with some of the departments that are within the economic cluster part, but DTIC certainly leading that, and say, what is our trade policy approach? What markets are we prioritizing? What products are we also going to be targeting? And I think that is an important homework for us, because then it begins to guide our posture to the world as these new things are happening, because we must be careful, of course, also not to be drawn into every little conversation that is happening where people raise the name South Africa, even if that particular market is not a high impact market that we are looking at, because absence of the vision of where we're going with our trade policy, whenever there are issues and someone in the corner yells about it, we'll find ourselves being dragged onto that. But I think if we are clear where we are going, industry buys into that, the leadership in government buys into that, then we will have a much more deliberate approach. There was clarity back in a day, and I do think that a refresh of that with the current times will be something that will be useful. And I think if one is listening carefully to the leadership at the DTIC, I think these are some of the things that they are open to having conversations about.
Definitely. Looking forward to it, and of course seeing much more progress coming out of this. Wandile, always such a pleasure speaking to you and learning so much from you. Next time I'm around the braai or a boardroom or the water cooler, I'll be sharing the facts and figures around our trade partners and just how different the proportion is from region to region. So thank you for educating us on that one.
Thank you.
Fantastic. That is Wandile Sihlobo, Chief Economist at the Agricultural Business Chamber of Commerce. Business Chamber of South Africa, I beg your pardon. It is at least just shy of 22 minutes to go before we hit the 7 o'clock mark. We'll be coming back to give you some insight into the world of municipalities and the challenges that they continue to face from a financial point of view.